The fact that Title IX has increased opportunities for women in sports is undeniable, but no hour on the subject would be complete without a discussion of the legislation's effects on opportunities for men. Bobby Randall was the men's baseball coach at Iowa State from 1985 to 1995, when that institution dropped baseball and men's swimming and diving in 2002. Randall says it was entirely a Title IX issue.
Well, of course, because the women's sports were never considered. You know, the softball coach when I was there and the women's swimming coach, they were thinking that they were in jeopardy, and I knew they weren't in jeopardy. They were never going to drop a women's sport, and really, they can't drop a women's sport.
Randall, like many of those who've spoken out against the way Title IX has been enforced, says he's not against opportunities for women and girls, but he's concerned about some of the ways colleges and universities work the Title IX equation.
They eliminated sports that the high schools were playing throughout the state, baseball, tennis. They had some swimming programs. And then they add women's rowing, which no high school has any women's rowing teams or any women's equestrian teams. But they do it only for the equation, not for the experience.
Joining me now on the line is Eric Pearson, chairman of the American Sports Council, which bills itself as, quote, the leading group working for the reform of Title IX. Eric, welcome to Only a Game.
Bill, thanks for having us.
And ESPN the Magazine senior writer Peter Keating, who has written about this subject. Peter, welcome back.
Hi, thank you very much.
Peter, I want to start with you, and let's begin with that last objection about women's rowing and equestrian programs. You recently penned an examination of that subject for ESPN the Magazine. What did you find?
During the period that Iowa State was eliminating its baseball team, it had pretty bad football teams, you know, back in the 80s and 90s. And we asked, well, since the kids in Iowa high schools are crazy for baseball and Iowa State had a good baseball program, why couldn't you award additional scholarships in baseball? Similarly, you might say, where is the demand for women's crew in Iowa? There doesn't seem to be much. Then you look at the NCAA scholarship limits, and you'll find that by NCAA mandate, this is the NCAA, which runs college sports across the whole country, the universities can give out a maximum of 11.7 baseball scholarships. Meanwhile, you can give out 20 scholarships to women's crew. And this is not based on demand. It's not based on high school participation. It's not based on Title IX. That's not written in Title IX anywhere. It's based on NCAA bureaucrats' ideas of how to make the numbers work. And so that's what my story was about, that a lot of these battles that seem to be about Title IX are actually not about men versus women. They're about revenue sports versus non-revenue sports.
Eric, your organization was dismayed enough with Peter's research to write your own open letter to ESPN's Peter Keating. Tell me what you think is wrong with Title IX.
The main issue that we're concerned with is the way it's enforced. Basically, the way proportionality works is the total number of athletes, the gender ratio of the athletes in your athletic department, must mirror the gender ratio of your undergraduate student population. What schools have to do is find ways to meet that ratio. And either they can elevate their numbers on the women's side or cut down the numbers on the men's side. So that is what we feel is unproductive for both male and female athletes.
Well, Eric, schools would never set aside more seats in a classroom for men than for women. So why shouldn't there be proportional representation in athletics?
Athletics are driven largely by interest. And interests can differ from sport to sport, from gender to gender. I'm not saying that women aren't interested in playing sports. Certainly they are. But say, for example, you have a swimming program that has 40 boys, 25 girls. It doesn't hurt the girls to have those extra 15 boys. As a matter of fact, in a lot of sports, men and women train together. So it makes no sense to place a numerical limit, which is the definition of a quota, on these squads.
You have said that you're for reform and not for the elimination of Title IX. Be as specific as you can in telling me what you think could be done to fix the problems which you see with the way the law is currently being enforced.
The language of the law would not be changed. We don't believe that anybody should be discriminated on the basis of their gender. What we have to change is how the law is regulated. Basically, you'd have to throw out the three-part test and develop a more effective set of criteria. Are you providing equal access to facilities? Are you providing equivalent funding? Are you providing the coaches? And from that, you have a very clear way to evaluate the quality of a program.
Well, there's two things about that. One is some of these things are moving targets. There's been a giant increase, just for example, in the number of young women running track, playing soccer, playing volleyball. And each of those numbers is now like 500,000 high school players across the country, and they're all going to be entering college and competing for college scholarships and college resources. And whether you're talking about scholarship allocations or coach pay or facilities, some of these things are moving targets. And so it's not an easy job to make sure that you're providing equal access. Sometimes even the colleges that are trying to do the right thing have a hard task. But the other thing is that that all could still happen. That all could take place, and you'd still be ignoring the devouring of college athletic resources that is taking place by football, which is a sport that women don't play. As long as 85 scholarships are being given out to the top football programs, you're going to have an enormous time demonstrating any kind of fundamental fairness in your athletic program.
Peter, do you see any room for improvement or a way to improve things as they currently stand, either in terms of the law itself or the enforcement?
Yes. What has to happen is that those coaches in those programs of men's Olympic sports, non-revenue sports, those guys and those programs have to be empowered somehow. And I really think that offering non-revenue sports more scholarships may be the only way to amplify their voices in the ongoing debates about how to reform college sports. And I think it's time for men's non-football and non-basketball coaches to assert themselves and demand a fairer allocation of resources inside the world of men's sports. Once people realize what a breaking point a lot of these Olympic sports are at, that might be a way forward.
Peter Keating is a senior writer for ESPN, the magazine. Peter, thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much.
And Eric Pearson is the chairman of the American Sports Council. Eric, thanks to you as well.
Thank you for having me.